Well, we're getting back to, after the holiday, the kind of the break for the holiday, and the messages that were there, and then while I was away as well, we started off with who I am in Christ, who I am in Christ. And so we're going to get back to that. And what we're doing here, and I think I got maybe two more of these, maybe three. But we're looking at a series of I am statements based on truths found in the Bible. In a previous, one of the previous ones, I said, you know, like our country's in an identity crisis. People don't, you know, they're wanting to be something they're not, or they're not sure who they are, or, you know, all these things. Well, for the Christian, we do not have this problem. At least we don't have to. And if you look on the back, you got your outline there, but on the back, I kind of put a recap on the back of the outline, the things we've already talked about. And the first message had to do with who God created me to be. Who God created me to be. I am a creature. Okay, I mean, just, and that's true whether you know Christ or not. All people are created by God. We are creatures. We are made with purpose. You know, we're not just accidents. We're not animals. In fact, we are like God. We're made in His image. And I am known by God. In other words, you know, the Bible tells us that He knew us before we were even born. He knows every hair on our head. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We were created to be a caretaker for the creation. God created this world and everything in it for us. And then we were to be good stewards of that creation. And while, you know, we have environmentalism and all those things that kind of take things to an extreme, there is truth in it in that we are to take care of this creation that God gave us, but we were not created for the creation. That's the difference. The world's attitude is, you know, we're to submit ourselves to the creation, but the creation was created for us, and we are to take care of it. And there's a very different line of thinking when you have that approach. But we were made to caretake the creation, and we were made to relate to the creation, the people, the animals, the plants, and all the things. And lastly, in that particular message, we were made for obedient, thankful worship. And that's who we are. Then the second message dealt with who I am because of Christ. And that was part one. We're going to have part two today. But in part one, I am forgiven. Because of Christ, forgiveness is available. I am forgiven. I am reconciled to God because of Christ. I am rescued. I am redeemed. I am free. I am God's possession. And I am known, not in the sense of the first message where I am known, where He just knows us, but I am known because I accepted Christ as my Savior. He knows that I am His. And in that sense, I am His. And so that's just kind of to kind of get you up to speed on where we've been the previous two messages. And now today we are going to continue with who I am because of Christ, and it's the second part. And so that's where we're going to start now. Part three, but it's who I am in Christ, part three, but who I am because of Christ, part two, if that makes sense. And so, because of Christ, I am chosen. I am chosen. Look at this. For He chose us in Him. Before the foundation of the world, you know, you ever ponder that? Before the foundation of the world, before God had done anything, He already knew you. He knew who you were going to be. He knew what you were going to do. He knew what your strengths were going to be, your weaknesses, your inclinations, your personality, all those things. before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Him. And the topic of this is who I am in Christ. And so you're going to see in most of these verses, and a lot of these verses, like this one, in Him. He chose us in Him. Who I am in Christ. And who I am chosen. I don't know how athletic you were or whatever, but you know, when you have teams and people choose teams, maybe you were the last one chosen.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's identifying with that. And, or maybe you didn't even get chosen at all. You know, you didn't even make the team. It is important to be chosen. It is important to know that you were chosen. And God chose you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Holy and blameless. Now we can get into the theological thing over predestination and all this stuff, but I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to debate those points, and there's a couple of views on that, but I'm not here. The point is, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I hope you have, then you've been chosen. Okay? And you can forget all the other theological mumbo jumbo. If you've named the name of Christ, you have been chosen. And you can rest in that regardless of what's going on in your life. You are chosen in Him, and you're not just chosen to be on the team. You are chosen to be holy and blameless in His sight. Be ye holy even as I am holy. And then you're like, wow, how can I be holy like God is holy? Well, you can't. But God's working in you, and that should be our goal. To be set apart, to be holy, to be blameless. You know, yeah, we do things wrong, but we ought not be blamed for anything. In other words, when I do something wrong, I need to confess it and make it right. That way I can't be blamed for it anymore. We're to be blameless. And we have that ability because we are in Christ. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are a chosen race, not a race as Hispanic or black or white or, you know, whatever. We are God's people. If you have named the name of Christ, you are His children. We have the same Father, regardless of our background, regardless of what the world would label us. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You understand your royalty when you are adopted into God's family? You're joint heir with Christ. We're a royalty. We're a holy nation, a people for His possession. Why? So that we may proclaim the praises. That we may proclaim the praises of the one who called us out of darkness. Do you realize before you knew Christ, you were in darkness? And you were in darkness and you didn't even know it. I remember, you know, my days, you know, I thought I knew everything. I thought I was enlightened. Other people would say, you're just a know-it-all. And that's, you know, I was a know-it-all. At least I thought I knew it all. But what I have found, especially when you go to Bible college, you start studying stuff. All Bible college did for me was make me realize how little I really knew.
Yeah.
Knew very little. You know, you kind of go in there thinking you've already, you know, especially you go in at my age, the age I was in the 40s, in my 40s, and you think you've been in the Bible all these years and stuff like that. Then you start finding out you really don't know anything. And outside of God, you really don't know anything, you know. But the point being, though, we can proclaim the praises of the one who does know everything. The one that does know how it all fits together. And He's called us out of darkness, out of that state that we were in where, you know, we thought we had light and we really didn't. And He brings us into His light. And I look back and I realize just how lost I was, just how ridiculously deceived I was. The things that I believed and would have sworn they were true. And then I look back and I see how God has changed me and how he's worked in my head, changed my thinking processes, and made me into another person. You know, the Bible says we are a new creature. And so all that to say, we are chosen for that. And if you have asked Christ into your heart, if you have confessed to God that you're a sinner and accepted his forgiveness, you have been called into his marvelous light. You have the ability to understand the things of God. What a marvelous thing it is. I am chosen. You were chosen for all that and more. Secondly, I am justified. This is such a marvelous, marvelous truth. A marvelous truth. Romans 3:23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Everyone. No matter how good you thought you were. No matter how many good works you've done. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified. There's that word. Freely by his grace through the redemption that is what? In Christ Jesus. There's that phrase again. In Christ Jesus. Justified. All justified means is you've been declared not guilty. You have been declared not guilty. Now, are we actually guilty? Yes, because what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has done wrong in our life. Every one of us is deserving of eternal punishment. But the beauty of God and his plan is we are justified. And I'm here to tell you today, don't be defined by your sin. You are declared not guilty. Yes, if you know, you could haul me in, you know, before the judge and say, you did this. You were selfish, you stole things, you know, there's all kinds of things I've done. Treated people wrong, said things, mean things. Yeah, I'm guilty of it all. But I stand before the judge and the judge goes, you believed in my son, not guilty.
Amen.
Wow. And you know you should be hauled away and you know, serve the punishment that fits the crime. But you're declared not guilty and you walk out of there and you're like, what happened? I'm not guilty. What a marvelous, marvelous truth. Don't take it lightly. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous, see, that's really, you know, when you're declared not guilty, you are declared right. It's the positive side of it. We have been declared righteous by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, before you have the Lord, you don't have peace with God. You know, before you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are at war with God. You don't even know it. You may be a good person. You may think you're okay with God. But the Bible says you're not unless you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And it says, because we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. That's marvelous. Romans 8:1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. There's that phrase again. If you're in Christ, you're not condemned anymore. It's interesting, and you've heard me, some of you have heard me say this before, John 3:18. You know, we talk about John 3:16, but John 3:18 talks about that we are condemned already. A lot of people say, oh, you know, I'm doing the best I can here. When I you know, die, I hope, you know, I'm going to find out which way the balance goes. That is a lie. There is no balance. The Bible says in John 3:18, we are condemned already. You're not going to find out when you die and go be before God. You're not going to find out then. You are condemned already. But the good news is when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no condemnation now exists for you. Amen. What a wonderful promise. We are justified. We are declared innocent. Christ paid my penalty. I have peace with God and I am acquitted. I'm set free. What a marvelous, marvelous. Third, I am accepted. I am accepted. You know, one of the big reasons we have so many things going on in our society with gangs and things like that, people just want to be accepted. Everyone wants to be accepted. You know, people come to church. They want to be accepted in church. People go to a club or somewhere. They want to be accepted. People in their own families, you want to be accepted. When you, whatever sphere, whatever group of people you hang with, why do you hang with those people? Because they accept you. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you've named the name of Christ, you're accepted. You don't have to go it alone. Therefore, accept one another just as the Messiah has accepted you to the glory of God. You know, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God accepts you on that basis. Your sin no longer keeps you out of the group. You are a part of His family. You are accepted. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know what mercy is? It's not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. You know, you steal a car, and maybe the law says, oh, if you steal a car, you should get 6 years in prison. And you go before the judge, you go, have mercy on me. Okay, I'll give you 2 years. That's mercy. You deserve six, you get two. Or maybe you get probation. That's mercy. And we have received, we deserve hell. We have sinned against a holy, perfect God. And that's what we deserve, but because of His mercy, we don't get that punishment. What a wonderful promise. He says, you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You've received mercy. Wonderful, wonderful promise. Who am I because of Christ? And this is a big one. I mean, this is the main one. I am saved. I am saved. And if you're looking at your outline, yeah, we're going to go through all those verses. But I don't think it'll take super long. But this is a big one. This is it. I mean, you either have salvation or you don't. You're either going to pay the penalty for your sin in hell, or you're going to accept the fact that Jesus paid it for you, and you escape that. That's why we call it saved. I am saved. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad you didn't have to clean yourself up first? Because I'd still be working on it. I don't know about you. You know, if I got to be totally clean, I'll never get there. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us just as we are. Just as we were, in the midst of the stuff we were doing and saying and thinking, He loved us and He died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, there's that justification, you're declared righteous, because a lot of these overlap, okay? This all fits together, these verses. We've been declared righteous by His blood. His blood paid the price for your sin and mine. We will be saved through Him from wrath. What's wrath? Hell. And we're saved from that. For if while we were enemies, see, there's the part I was telling you about, how you were an enemy of God. We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? It's by what He did, we are saved and we are reconciled with God. In other words, we can have our, you know, when you're not reconciled, maybe you've got a parent or a child or a relative or a friend that you used to have, and something happened, and now, you know, you can't even be in the same room together. That's how we were with God. But then something happens, and then you're reconciled to them. Now you can sit down with them and have a meal with them, or just have a conversation now. That's reconciliation. And it's the same with us. There was all this stuff, our sin between us and God. And when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were reconciled to Him. Now we can have conversation with Him. Prayer. We can have a conversation. We can have a relationship now. And we're saved from the punishment that we deserved. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler, that would be Satan, who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the Spirit now working in the disobedient. This was us. No matter how good you think you are or were, this was all of us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked in these ways, and we did things according to what Satan was doing. We didn't even know it. We were oblivious to it. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires. You know, we just did what we wanted to. Carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. This is Paul writing this. He says, you know, we were by our nature, our very nature. And anybody that has raised children, I don't care how innocent looking they are evil.
Amen.
They're selfish. You don't teach them to be selfish, do you? And yet they're selfish. Me, 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 me. And if they don't get their way, I'm going to throw a fit. You know, you don't teach them that. And when they're in trouble, you didn't teach them to lie, but they'll lie to try and get out of trouble, to try and escape the punishment. You don't teach them that. Why? Because by nature. And you know what? All those children grow up. Look in this room. We were all children and we grew up. And we have that same nature. We have that same nature. We have those same inclinations. And every now and again, we fall to them, don't we? We say the unkind word, or we kind of get in the emotion of the moment and behave in a way that perhaps we shouldn't. Make a bad decision, whatever. I don't use the word mistakes. I hate that when somebody gets caught stealing a car and then they say, I made a mistake. That wasn't a mistake. I mean, what's a mistake? It's like you're adding a column of numbers and you got the wrong answer. Well, you were trying to do it right, but you made a mistake. When you stole that car, you weren't trying to do right. You knew you were stealing the car. That's not a mistake, but I hate that when those people get up there and they go, well, I made some mistakes. Yeah, no kidding. Those weren't mistakes. Those were bad decisions. You thought you could get away with it, and you didn't. That's our nature, folks. We got to own that. That's who we are inside. That's that sin nature. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. And when you accept Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, He moves in. And at least now you got a fighting chance. Because through His Spirit, our spirit can do right. And it can spill over to our flesh and our emotions, our soul, all those things. But by nature, we were under wrath. But God I love the phrase, but God. You know, all this bad stuff, but God. He intervened, because you know what? If he didn't, we were doomed. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace.
Amen.
Now, as opposed to mercy, God, who's rich in his mercy, in other words, he's not going to give you what you deserve, but we are saved by grace. What does that mean? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. We're saved. We don't face the wrath. We're adopted into the family of God. We don't deserve that. We get to go to heaven. There'll be a day when we're sitting at the table with the Lamb of God himself. We don't deserve any of that, but we get it. That's grace, folks. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens. Think about that. This is who we are. Seated us in the heavens so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us, and there's that phrase, in Christ Jesus, who we are in Christ. For you are saved, this is John's verse, he always gets it backwards. For you are saved by grace through faith. Get that right. Faith doesn't save you. It's through your faith that God in his grace saves you. Okay? And this is not from ourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast.
Amen.
You know, I was so good, God just had to adopt me into his family. Yeah. Say what? There's too many people know me. They know that's not true. No. We can't boast. It is all the work of God, God working in us. For we are his creation, created, there's that phrase again, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. We were created and saved so that we could do something good in the name of Jesus. Good works. Like, those of you that gave clothes to that family that, you know, they lost everything in the fire. That's good works. That doesn't save you, but that pleases God. Because we were created to do good things like that. Short verse. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So I'm going to wrap up this one because this was a big one. I am saved. Or another way of putting it is I have been rescued. And what have we been rescued from? I'll give you six things. We have been rescued from God's just wrath. He is justified in his wrath, folks. But we've been rescued from that. We are rescued from sin. You realize before you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were a slave to sin. But after you accept Christ as your Savior, you are rescued from that. You are no longer a slave to sin. You no longer have to do those things. You now have the power. The power of the Holy Spirit is within you, and you have the power to say no. I'm not going to do that. You have that power. Now, sometimes we do it anyway, and that's the flesh. And that's the battle that Paul talked about, the flesh warring against the spirit. Our spirit wants to do what's right. Our flesh sometimes says, I'd rather do that. And then we have this battle, and we have to make a decision. And then we decide, and we either please God or we don't. And then if we don't, then we get convicted, and then we have to ask him to forgive us and try and make it right. And hopefully we learn a lesson, and we grow. And that's part of the walk of a Christian. But he has rescued us from sin. He has rescued me from myself. Because left to myself, I'm going down a path that does not end well. It's just that simple. I am rescued from death. The second death. The Bible says everyone's going to die. And then after that, the judgment. And then those that have Christ live. Those that do not experience the second death, which is the wrath of God. And I've been rescued from that. Now, I'm not rescued from physical death. You know, we're all destined for that. But the second death, I'm rescued from. I am rescued from Satan. He no longer is ruling me anymore. I'm adopted in the family of God. God is my king. And I'm rescued from Satan. And I'm rescued from this worldly system. This system that we have going on here. Some areas of the world it's worse than others, but all of it is not what God would have. And right now we're subject to it in a lot of ways, but we are rescued from that. We are citizens of heaven. And we have the perfect king. Whew. Got through that one. That was a big one. The most important one. Next, I am alive. I am alive. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God, and there's that phrase again, in Christ Jesus. You understand that your spirit was dead. You had your, when you're born with a soul and flesh and your spirit, but your spirit is dead. You are born with a dead spirit. You cannot get to God except through the Spirit. That's why you have to be born again. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, a miracle happens. Holy Spirit moves in and raises your spirit to life. And now your spirit can, His Spirit can bear witness with your spirit. And you become alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then once your spirit is alive, now it begins to work on your soul. What's your soul? It's your mind, it's your intellect, it's your will, and it's your emotions. And when you get those things, that will spill over to your flesh. Your flesh carries out what the mind, the intellect, the will deems. And so now you're born again, you're alive, your spirit's alive. Now you have this battle going on because the flesh isn't dead. The flesh still, you know, still wants to lie to get out of trouble. Okay? But then your spirit is going, don't do it. It'll be worse for you. Just face it, you know, make it right. That's the way to do it. And then you have that battle. And we all fight that battle on one area or another. There's that battle goes on. But we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. Ponder that for a moment. When you accept Christ, your Lord and Savior, God's own Spirit is alive within you. Man, the God, the Creator of the universe. He is in you. I like that song, Same Power That Rose Jesus from the Grave. Same power is in you. Man, it should make us a little more careful about what we do and say and think. Because God's right there. And when we, if we steal something, we just kind of made God steal something with us, you know, in a sense, because He's right there in us. When we say that thing that we shouldn't have said, we kind of brought God along into that. Something I've prayed a long time, I don't know how successful it's been, but I've prayed to be more cognizant of God's presence when I go through life. And, you know, sometimes I do better than others. I'm, you know, no different than you guys. But try to be aware that He's there, you know. It says, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And you know what? Our bodies are dead because of sin. And we know that, right? Because the older we get, the more dead our bodies are, aren't they? And then finally, they just give it up, right? Eventually, it's decaying, right? You're kind of dying from the day you're born. It's just the flesh. Body's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. What does that mean? There's going to be that resurrection one day, right? And these bodies are going to get glorified. That's going to be a good day. No more back pain. Amen. Won't have to put contacts in. It's all going to work really good. Really well. I've always been pleased that I have hair. But it's fallen out. I know somebody said one time, I guess I bent over like this, and they said, I see more of your head now. And I've been finding a lot of hair on my pillow the last couple months. I don't know. You turn 65, your hair starts falling out. I don't know. So I'm sitting there thinking, great, So Brad, I might be right there with you one day here,
But I have a crown.
You have a crown. Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
So, I know it's crazy. Every time I comb my hair, a bunch of hair comes off, and I'm thinking, great, I've been so happy with my hair all these years. I really like it. But this body is going down the tubes, But praise the Lord, it's not forever. Yeah, I wonder if we'll all have a full head of hair in heaven. I wonder if that's one of the things. I don't know. Or maybe we'll all be bald. I don't know. I never thought about that before. Where am I? All right, let's go to the next verse. That'll straighten me out. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, praise the Lord for his great love, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in our trespasses. Then he repeats it again. You were saved by grace. I have received new life from God. My spirit has been brought to life and will never die. Okay? Once you accept Christ as your Savior, your spirit is come alive and will never die. And after I die physically, my body will be made new and live forever. And while we're here, with hair, yeah, possibly. But life, because of this, life has new meaning. And we can have new purpose and we can have a perspective that we never had before on all this stuff that goes on. We can have the perspective of God. I'm alive. Here's a good one. I am loved. People want to be loved. They've done experiments where they've taken a small child and, and that's not really an experiment. It's just sometimes babies are born with problems and they can't be touched. And they put them, in an incubator. And then even when they are touched, it's like gloves and they have to reach in there. And they have observed how they are because they're not touched and loved and caressed and held. And then when they finally get over that disease or whatever it is that's keeping them, and they're held, and it's a whole different thing. And I've seen people like in different situations, and maybe they're grieving, and you just walk up and you just, you don't even have to say anything. You just put your arm or your hand on their shoulder, your arm around them, or, you know, some act of care, act of love, act of endearment, you know, something like that. And you can just feel them just drink it in. And there's probably nothing worse than when someone says, nobody cares about me. And there are people like that. And there may be someone here today that maybe you just think no one cares about you. But I'm here to tell you, you are loved. God loves you. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For I am persuaded, this is the verse that John read, for I am persuaded that not even death or life or angels or rulers or things present, things to come, hostile powers, height, depth, any created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God. And there's that phrase again, that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are loved. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now you may be sitting there going, propitiation? What is that? All is just a word, and I'm just going to read you the kind of the definition. It's kind of more of an example rather than a definition, but Jesus, propitiation is the means by which God accepts us, okay, us, our sinful selves that we are. And so I wrote this sentence, Jesus is the means by which God shows mercy to the sinner who believes on Christ as the one who covered and paid for our sin. Okay, that's in that word, propitiation. In other words, Jesus had to appease God's wrath. That's propitiation. He was the propitiation for our sin. We were under wrath. And when we accepted Christ as our Savior, that appeased God. It fulfilled His sense of justice. You know, we like to talk about God's love, but you cannot really understand God's love apart from His sense of justice and purity. He hates sin as much as He loves us. And that sense of justice has to be satisfied. And Jesus satisfied it for you, for me, by His work on the cross. That's the best way I can explain it. He loves us, and He proved it by His gift, His Son, Jesus. You know, if I sacrificed my Son for you, killed Him so that you could live, would I have to, and it was because I loved you that I did it, would I have to ever do anything else for you to show you that I loved you? I mean, you know, like 10 years later, would I have to do something else to prove it? Or 50 years later, would I have to do something else to prove it? No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God showed His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. You are loved. Lastly, I am secure. I am secure. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never cast out. That's pretty secure, isn't it? When you came to God, at some point in your life through Jesus Christ. You were adopted into His family, and you can never be cast out. That's security, folks. I am sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You can feel secure. He's working in your life. Remember we talked about in Philippians, He's conforming us to the image of His Son. This is out of Philippians. He's going to complete that. He's not going to give up on you, no matter how many things you do out of His will or whatever. He's never going to give up on you. He's going to complete it. And my God, again in Philippians, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, and there's that phrase, in Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of you. You're secure. You're taken care of. And if that isn't enough, your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. You know, there's contentment. For He Himself has said what? I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. I will never leave you or forsake you. Once you belong to Him, it's a done deal. And there's nothing you can do to reverse that. I will never leave you or forsake you. What a guarantee. I am secure. God will complete His work in me. God will meet my needs, and He will never abandon me. Now, sometimes we feel abandoned. Sometimes we're into something, and you know, and it's not our fault or whatever, and we just feel like, man, God has left me. But He has not left you. Things happen in life, folks, and most of us know that. Most of us have experienced it or are experiencing it. But rest on this, I will never leave you or forsake you. You are in His hands. You are secure. He's doing something, whatever it might be. There's something going on. He may be using you to get someone else's attention. It may not even be about you that you're going through this stuff. It might be that He's taken the circumstance that you're in and He's trying to reach someone else through it. Could be. But sometimes in our walk with God, it just seems like nothing's happening. It seems like things are just all going wrong. And our emotions get all wrapped up in it. And that's when you got to go back to truth. And you read a statement like that, and you say, you know what? The Bible tells me God will never leave me or forsake me. Therefore, He is here. May not feel like He's here. May not seem like He's here. But truth is, He's here. He is aware of my situation. There is something He's doing. I don't know, may not know what it is, but I need to understand He's right here. He hasn't left me. There is purpose in all this, somehow, some way. There is purpose. And I trust Him. It just comes down to faith, don't it? Sometimes all you got is to just believe the truth, whether it even seems true or not. You just believe it. Because you know what? In the end, that's all we have. You're secure. Because Jesus died, forgiveness is available. Isn't that great? It's available. It's there. All you got to do is ask. Because Jesus rose from the dead, victory over sin and the abundant life is possible. He rose from the dead, and because He conquered death, in Him we conquer death. He conquered it for us. We ride on the coattails, if you will. Because of Christ, we have identity. We can know who we are. All these I am statements. This is who you are if you've accepted Christ. And listen to this sentence here. This is so important. We are not defined by our flaws and our sins. We are defined by who we are in Christ. Now, you may define yourself. You may say, well, I'm just this. And then I've seen people, you know, they're just beat down. They're just beat down. And they just need a good shot of encouragement or something, you know. But don't let your flaws, don't let your sins, don't let your bad decisions, don't let, yes, and even mistakes you may make that are legitimate mistakes, don't let yourself be defined by that. Be defined by who you are in Christ. That's what defines us. That's who we are. The devil is the one that, you know, he works on all that. He's the one that puts those thoughts in your head because he does not want you to be victorious. He wants you to just knuckle and just fall under it, just get steamrolled. That's Satan's work. You define yourself by who you really are, who the Bible says you are. Let God have that problem. So regardless of the things going on in our lives or the mistakes and poor decisions we may make, our hope stands firm because of Christ. Can you say I'm saved?
I am saved.
There may be someone here today that cannot say that. I mean, maybe they know about these things. Maybe they've heard 1,000 sermons. Mm-hmm. But you know in your heart you cannot say it. I mean, for all the I am statements that we as Christians can say, it starts with that one. Because for all the rest to take place, there has to be a time when you acknowledge your sinful state and you realize there's no way out of it except through Jesus Christ. And you go to God and you just confess. You just say, I'm a sinner. I deserve the worst. But I believe that Christ died for my sin. I believe that Christ paid the price for my sin. And Lord, would you please forgive me? And make me one of your children. And you know what? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. He will answer that prayer every time. So there may be someone here today that you have never made that decision. You have never just humbled yourself and gone to God and said, I need you. Really comes down to about that kind of attitude. It's just like the thief on the cross. He just looked at Christ and said, remember me. When you go into your kingdom, remember me. You know, he didn't pray this 5-point prayer that gets you into heaven. It was his heart. And Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus says, you know what? I know your heart and I see your faith. And by grace, you know, my Father is going to save you and you're going to be with me in paradise. That's not in the scriptures, but that's what happened.
Amen.
That's just, you know, God in his grace saved that thief. And he was with Christ that day in paradise. It happened. There may be someone here that's never done that. I hope you will take today and make that happen. Because none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating a fact. It's just none of us. We don't know if we're going to get hit by a car, have a heart attack. I mean, we don't know. We just don't know. That's why the Bible says today is the day. Because all we have for sure is today. For the rest of us, you know, there may be a lot of different responses to this message. Maybe there's some here that don't feel accepted. Maybe there's some here that don't feel loved. Maybe there's some here that don't feel alive. Maybe there's some here that don't feel too secure. Maybe they feel like God has turned their back on them. Maybe there's some that don't feel justified. In other words, they know they've been declared not guilty, but they still bear a lot of guilt. You know, God didn't intend. You know, guilt is what Satan uses to bring us down. You know, he hits me with it all the time. Who are you, Mike, to stand in front of these people and preach about godliness? Look at who you are. Look at what you've done. And it's true. But I just say, you know what, Satan? I've been forgiven of that. And you're not going to control me with that. You know, yeah, I've done those things and worse. You know? But I'm forgiven. But there's some people, they just keep living with that guilt. You are not created to live with guilt. You were created to be forgiven and to praise God and worship Him and serve Him. So maybe there's someone here today, you just need to get that guilt put behind you. Just accept, you know what it really is, it comes down to? So there's people that say, I'm in danger now going off on another message, but there's people that say, I have never forgiven myself. I know God forgave me, but I've never forgiven myself. You cannot forgive yourself. That is a lie. You can't forgive. God forgives. Okay? You need to learn to accept the forgiveness that God has given to you for that thing you did. And maybe you need to go to the person and ask them to forgive you. If you haven't done that, yeah, you need to do that. But you can't just dump. And don't get me wrong, you know, if you do something, like somebody did something to me, I can forgive them in that regard. But we cannot forgive sin. We can't wipe the sin away. So I go to the person that I wronged and I say, please forgive me. And maybe they do. And that makes it right between us. But God is the one that has to make it right. I have to go to Him and say, yeah, I did this. Please forgive me. And He gets rid of it. Because otherwise, you know, if I could forgive myself, then what do I need Jesus for? I mean, why do you have to come? If I can forgive myself, what do I need Him for? No, I got to learn to accept that God does forgive. And yeah, maybe I did something really terrible and I feel bad about it. And that's good that I feel bad about it. I shouldn't be glorying in it. But once that forgiveness is given, move on. Accept the forgiveness and move on. And don't let Satan control you through that. Because that's what he's doing. He's controlling you through guilt. And God is not a God of guilt. God is a God of forgiveness, and He removes the guilty stains. Accept the forgiveness and walk in victory serving God. Somebody might have needed that, I don't know. But anyway, maybe there's somebody that's dealing with guilt, and you need to make it right. This is your opportunity, whatever it is. Kathy, if you'll come up, we're going to have an invitation. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just going to... Is there somebody here that would say, Brother Mike, I need that forgiveness. I've maybe heard you what you've said the day before or whatever, but I'm here to acknowledge that I need to ask God to forgive me. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've been walking through this life without Him, and I realize my need. And I'd like prayer about that. I need to make a decision. I want prayer. If you're that case, would you slip your hand up so that I can pray for you? Anybody like that? For the rest of us, is there anybody who would say, I've been kind of hampered by guilt in my life, and I need prayer about that. Anybody like that? I've got some guilt. Wow. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. I pray that you would come to trust in the forgiveness of God and let that guilt go. I pray that you would do that. How many would say, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm accepted and I need prayer about that. I'm just not fitting in. And I need prayer about that. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, you know what, sometimes I just don't feel loved. And I need prayer about that. I know I'm loved. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, sometimes I don't feel so secure. And I need prayer about that. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And I know you probably know that in your head, but you need to know it in your heart, so to speak. Heavenly Father, Lord God, your Spirit is working here. And Father God, I pray that you would move on our hearts this morning. Show us the truth that was spoken here today, Lord, and help us to see how it applies to us and to act upon it, that we may have the victory that is in Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us to not be defined by our past, but be defined by who you say we are. I pray for these that raise their hand, Lord. I pray you would move on them in a very special way, minister to their hearts. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As the music plays, if you need prayer, you can come up here. If you want to do business with God right there from your seat, you can do that. But this is your opportunity to do something with what you've heard today. Do not waste it. Father, Lord, we come before you this morning just in awe of all you have done in our behalf. Lord God, you sent Christ to come and die in our place, Lord, and rise again in victory over sin and death. We share in the victory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you chose us, you justified us, you accept us, you've saved us, you have made us alive, you've loved us. We are secure in your hand, Lord. There is no doubt. Father God, thank you for all you have done on our behalf through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, help us, Lord, to grasp a hold of all that you have done and live accordingly, Lord, that we would walk in victory because of what you have done. Let us not be defined by our own weaknesses and our past and all that is, Lord. But rather, Lord, let us be defined by what you have done and who you say we are. That we would be profitable servants for you, walking in victory and impacting this world for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.